Our scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 13. Isaiah here begins a new section, a section dealing primarily with prophecies about the nations surrounding Israel. And he begins in a rather surprising place, not with Egypt or Assyria, the old established nations, but with Babylon, a new empire that in Isaiah's day was just on the rise and seemed to be the nation that would become the great superpower, as indeed it did. So Isaiah chapter 13, the burden against Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amoz saw. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Raise your voice to them. Wave your hand that they may enter the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, those who rejoice in my exaltation. The noise of a multitude in the mountains, like that of many people. A tumultuous noise of the kingdom of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts musters the army for battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven. The Lord and his weapons of indignation to destroy the whole land. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be limp, and every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place, in the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in the day of his fierce anger. It shall be as the hunted gazelle, and as a sheep that no man takes up. Every man will turn to his own people, and every one will flee to his own land. Everyone who is found will be thrust through, and everyone who is captured will fall by the sword. Their children also will be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses will be plundered, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver. As for gold, they will not delight in it. Also their bows will dash the young men to pieces, and they will have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye will not spare children, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation, nor will the Arabian pitch tents there. Nor will the shepherds make their sheepfolds there, but wild beasts of the desert will lie there, and the houses will be full of owls. Ostriches will dwell there, and wild goats will caper there. The hyenas will howl in their citadels, and jackals in their pleasant palaces. Her time is near to come, and her days will not be prolonged. May God bless the reading of his solemn and holy word. Our text this evening is found in the chapter that we read, Isaiah chapter 13, and the first words of verse 9, Behold, the day of the Lord comes. Behold, the day of the Lord comes. Babylon, that ancient city, that city that saw the rebellion against God in the day of the Tower of Babel, the days after the flood, when all mankind was of one language. Babylon, that ancient city, was to fall. When Isaiah wrote these words, that seemed absurd. Babylon, yes, they'd been through a bad patch, but now what historians call the Neo-Babylonian Empire had begun its rise. They had been for a while oppressed by the Assyrians, but now they rose up against them. And a man who had any sort of understanding of international politics would look and say, Babylon is on the rise, and Babylon was on the rise. Here was this great power. And Isaiah lived in an age of great power politics. Egypt, the ancient power. Assyria, the more recent power. Babylon in the background. And international politics is a long history of, as Seller and Yeatman put it in 1066 and all that, the desire to become top nation. Nations vie with each other to become the great power. Power politics. We see it through the 18th century in Europe. We see it through the 19th, spilling out over the world in all the great empires, the colonial empires of the European nations. The 20th century, the great wars that happened, the great superpower confrontation, America versus the Soviet Union. We see it today with a resurgent Russia challenging America. And it seems this is human history. Power against power. And yet, all great powers are to God as Babylon. And Babylon will fall. And there is a day coming, the day of the Lord, which all must be aware of, or should be aware of. And so God speaks here to his people. This is first of all a message to God's people, not to get caught up in all this power politics. Because God says three things concerning Babylon. First of all, God will bring destruction upon Babylon. Secondly, the day of the Lord will come upon Babylon. And thirdly, God will bring desolation upon Babylon. Destruction, the day of the Lord, and desolation. Destruction, the day, and desolation. And first, God will bring destruction on Babylon. Now, first of all, this prophecy is about literal Babylon. And yet this prophecy is broader than literal Babylon, because Babylon stands for something. Every nation that's worth anything at all stands for something. Now, nations can change what they stand for as their governments rise and fall, as they change. You think of how it was that Russia changed from being a nation that stood for autocratic sovereignty to a nation that stood for Marxist-Leninism because of the revolution. How it was that France changed because of the revolution, from being a nation that stood again for autocratic sovereignty to those great slogans of liberty, equality, brotherhood. And that since then, in spite of empires, Napoleons, France has stood as a nation that is about liberty, equality, brotherhood, fraternity. The United States has that reputation, what it's supposed to stand for. of liberty. Great Britain stands, or is supposed to stand for, but it best stood for fair play, decency. Nations stand for things, and they can stand for good things and bad things. And Babylon stands for an incredibly bad thing. Babylon stands for man's rebellion against God. Genesis chapter 11. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens, lest we let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Babylon was a place of rebellion against God, of mankind trying to unite in the face of God to go against him. Babylon stood for rebellion. Babylon stands for rebellion against God. Babylon is the great city that man built after the flood. It is, as the great African theologian Augustine put it, the city of man that stands against the city of God. There are ultimately in the world two cities. There is Babylon and there is Zion. And Babylon is man against God. And Zion is man under God. Zion is the city of God, the city which has God for its builder and founder, has God at the center of it. Babylon is the city that has man for its builder and founder, and has man at the center of it. Zion is about what God wants, the desire of God, the love of God is in the center. Babylon is about the love of self, the love of man, the glory of man. Babylon is man's city. And we need to understand that in part, because otherwise we can take language that appears in the book of Revelation that refers to Babylon and think it refers to literal Babylon in modern day Iraq, and forget that Babylon is this great symbol of man in rebellion against God. And Isaiah hears God's word against Babylon. And God goes straight to the destruction of Babylon. God has an army. And God summons his army. Lift up a banner on the high mountain. Here's the picture of the army being called together. The standard is raised. The standard is lifted up. If you go to Nottingham today, there's a little plaque. You can see where King Charles I raised his standard, which promptly blew down again in the wind, which was a bad sign as to what his army would do. But again, the point of raising a standard is to gather the army together. It's like the flaming cross the Highlanders would send through the Highlands to gather the clans together. And the army is gathered together. And they are commanded. And who are they? They are, says God, my sanctified ones. My people who I've set apart. my servants. Because you see, God is at work in history. God is not sitting back and watching as men do things, but behind man's work there is God at work. God working to influence the nations, that men come together and men do as they want to do. But beyond that they do what God wants to do. Called together for his anger, called together to be his weapon, the Lord's weapons of indignation to destroy the land. Babylon was at the height of its power, it seemed, when the Medo-Persian Empire attacked. And we know from the book of Daniel what happened on the day Babylon fell. Because the book of Daniel records that while the king was out in the field with his armies, his son Belshazzar was there in the palace feasting, all secure because Babylon was secure. The walls would hold out the enemy. And on that very day, a finger appeared and wrote upon the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. You are weighed in the balances and found wanting, and your kingdom is divided between the Medes and the Persians. And the king saw those words written upon the wall, and the king's knees smote together, and the king panicked. What does it mean? And he called, and the queen mother summoned old Daniel, servant of God and servant of the empire. And Daniel told him what it meant and said, you have praised the gods of silver and gold and wood and iron, but you have not praised the God who holds your breath, and so this night your life will be taken from you. And the historians record what happened. The Medes and the Persians built a great dam that diverted the river away from the city, so the city was unprotected. And they stormed into the city, and the king was killed. Destruction coming, because God is the judge of the nations. God does judge all nations, not just Israel. He judged Israel first. Judgment begins with the house of God. But judgment involves all nations. Every nation is judged. Do we not see that in our own history? How God has brought down nations who lifted themselves up and exalted themselves. God judges nations as nations for their sins committed as nations. Destruction. But secondly, we have the day. The language is apocalyptic and deliberately so. This is not just the language of the fall of Babylon. This is the language of the end of the world. The day of the Lord comes. The stars of heaven, their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world. Not just Babylon, but the world. Because whenever the judgment of God falls in a limited way, it's pointing forward to the day of the Lord. And the day of the Lord is the day of Christ's coming again. Who can endure the day of his coming? The day, the great day of his wrath will come. I will punish the world for its evil. Therefore I will shake the heavens and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. This is the end of the present age. The day when the heavens will be rolled up like a scroll. when the earth shall melt with fervent heat, when God shall make all things new, when all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The great day of his wrath, cosmic justice, is coming. And that cosmic justice is a great encouragement to God's people. Because we look at a world filled with injustice. And we say, O Lord, how long? And there is an end to that injustice. We look at a world filled with wickedness and godlessness. How long, O Lord? How long will these things be? And the answer is, there is a day appointed, the great day of his wrath, when those who stand against him can stand no more, and who shall abide the day of his coming? It is a great thing to think of, an end of all evil, an end of this wicked world, and a new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. Herein is God's great mercy. People say sometimes in the street, but why doesn't God deal with all the evil in the world? He will. This is the day of the Lord. And it is a thing that God's people can look forward to, because we can look back at another great day of his wrath. The great day when the sun was darkened outside of Jerusalem, when the Lord Jesus Christ died for the sins of his people. There we can look and say, there is a great day of God's wrath, where the wrath of God was taken by God the Son, where God the Son took the wrath of God upon himself, because he took the sin of his people upon himself. He became not physically, but legally, the great sinner. And so he suffered the penalty of sin. He bore the penalty. The justice of God was unleashed upon him in all its fullness. The great day, that great day. And so God's people can look forward to the great day when Christ comes again and say, as Count Zinzendorf, bold shall I stand in that great day. For who aught to my charge shall lay, fully absolved through Christ I am, from sin's tremendous guilt and shame. The great day when Christ cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? When he bore the penalty of sin and took it away. So that for God's people we look forward to the second coming as a day of joy. Because Christ has appeared once for all to do away with sin for his people. And so he returns and does not return to condemn his people, to judge his people, for his people are judged in him already. But he returns to bring in the new heavens and earth in which righteousness dwells. And so it is that God's people sigh in their hearts, even so, come, Lord Jesus, bring that great day. That great day. The day of judgment. The day of wonder. The day. And thirdly, the desolation. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldeans' pride, will be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. Now, Babylon, when it fell, as we know from the book of Daniel, was not immediately laid waste. The Medes and the Persians continued to use the city. Alexander the Great, in 323 BC, occupied the city and planned to make it a great capital for his empire, and he died there. In 275 BC, the inhabitants were deported. They were taken away, and the city then became insignificant, entered into a steep decline. As you can imagine, if the inhabitants are removed, other people moved in to take over, but the city entered a steep decline. Really, however, it's not until the 7th century AD when Babylon's fate is sealed, the Muslim invasion. The Muslims invaded modern-day Iraq, laid waste to what remained of the city, the little village. By the 10th century, it was but a little village. And not long after, it vanishes, lost in the desert sands. Its very existence, very location, forgotten. And today, nobody lives there. Today, well, Saddam Hussein partially rebuilt it as a tourist attraction. The ruins are there, but Babylon, the city, is nothing. It's just walls. It's not a great city. It's a nothing. It will never be inhabited, nor will it be settled from generation to generation. And no, it will not be taken over in the future by some dictator wanting to make it the capital of the world. That is to misunderstand what Revelation means when it speaks of Babylon the Great. But because Babylon as a symbol survives. The great cities of the world, they are Babylon when they are built not upon a foundation of godliness, but a foundation of man's pride and self-sufficiency. And the picture here of Babylon laid waste is a reminder that Babylon falls. And the fall of Babylon will be eternal. There will be no rebuilding of man's pride after Christ's coming again. No Babylon in the eternal state. There will be no Babylon, but only Zion. Babylon deserted, abandoned. Look at that desert in Iraq, and you learn the lesson of what happens to man's city. Pride of man and earthly glory, tower and temple fall to dust. Here is man's city crumbling to ruin. But the city of God remains. The city of God lasts forever. All human attempts to stand against God fail. Babylon trusts in its great wealth, and God says, I will stir up the Medes against them, who will not regard silver. As for gold, they will not delight in it. You can't buy them off. And that's what man always tries to do, to buy off catastrophe, to try to, we can give something, we can somehow bargain with catastrophe. We cannot buy off God's instruments. We cannot buy off the day of God's judgment. Man thinks so often in terms of wealth, in terms of military might. But here are the Medes, who don't care about money, who care only for conquest, for destruction, for laying waste this world. This land, Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. God's judgment comes, and who can abide the day of his coming? But what a contrast it is compared to the kingdom of God, to Zion that is eternal, Jerusalem that is above. And at the end of the book of Revelation, after all the destruction poured out upon Babylon, what happens? But Zion descends from heaven. Zion, untouched by war, untouched by fire and destruction, the new Jerusalem comes down from God out of heaven. And it is absolutely perfect and pristine. And there is no suffering there. There is no sorrow, no sickness. There is utter perfection, and not a sterile perfection, but a living, joyful, glorious perfection of crystal streams, a garden city, and not the garden city of Babylon with the artificial hanging gardens all sustained by man's power, but a garden city that is God's creation. God has made it, comes down from God out of heaven. There is the end. Babylon is fallen. Zion stands forever. And so God would tell us here, Babylon will fall. Babylon is doomed. Because it's Babylon. Because it is the city of man that stands against the city of God. And so its destruction is certain, because who can stand against God and win? Nobody. Its day, the day of Babylon back in the past, is a warning. A warning that man ignores every day and says, ah, but we can build a greater Babylon. We can build our cities up to the sky and they will stand forever. Nothing stands forever here upon the earth. The day is coming when God will shake once more the heavens and earth, so that only those things that cannot be shaken, that is the kingdom of God, the city of God, shall survive. Only those who know that the day of wrath against their sin was back when Christ died outside Jerusalem will be able to stand in that great day. Because only they can say that they have no sin against them. There is no charge against God's elect, not because God's elect are sinless, but because they have a great Redeemer, Jesus, who gave himself for us and is now our great high priest, our advocate with the Father. The day is coming when the great question will be, was the wrath of God poured out upon Christ for you, or will it be poured out upon you forever? And the desolation of Babylon is to us a great reminder of the desolation of all man's ungodly works. The city of man that stands against God is like that Babylon out in the desert, deserted, good for nothing except as a tourist attraction. A city that has no people. A city that has nothing, a shell, a ruin. And that desolation is forever, and so it shall be with the city of man, forever desolate, while the city of God thrives and stands forever. Oh, what a blessing then in that great day to be of the city of God, to be Zion's people, in the day when Babylon shall fall and Christ alone shall be exalted. Oh, may we stand bold in that day, forgiven in Jesus Christ. Amen.